Anybody else need an offering envelope? Praise God, praise God. Get them while they're hot. Make your lips go flippity-flop. Hallelujah. Who missed it? Where did I miss? Sorry about that. Anybody else need an offering envelope? Praise his mighty name. We good on the envelopes. Hallelujah. Bernie's not here. I'm having to do double duty. All right. You going to get it, Carolyn? Bernie had a colonoscopy and he ain't woke up yet. Friday he had it, so. He's woke up, but he's sleepy, and there's parts of his body that are still asleep causing problems, okay? If anybody's ever had one, then you can figure out what's causing the problem, okay? Yeah, I told him you're the first person I ever prayed for that God would allow you to pass gas. So that's his problem, see? You knew. You just played dumb enough that I come out and told you, didn't you? You did that on purpose, okay? Hallelujah. Hey, the older you get, the more important your pipes working correctly mean, okay? Amen. That's right. That's in our prayer book. That's one of the blessings. Thank God all the pipes are operating. Hallelujah. Let's pray and you can give this morning. Amen. Well, I can clear the finances of the church up. All the bills are paid. The preacher's fat. But some extra to buy a computer would really come in handy. A new computer would come in handy. So Aunt Helen said that last week during the testimonies, God urged her to give a special offering this week. And she's saying God might be telling some of you to do the same thing. Amen? Hallelujah. Now you just put it in there. Amen. Amen. We do have Kenny Jess and Lisa and Uncle Carl with us today, and we are glad to have them. Hallelujah. Y'all blessed. Your cousin Carl, did Uncle Carl ever paddle any of you guys? Yeah. No? Hallelujah. Let's pray and you can give. You guys are easy to get me off track. I need to stay on point this morning. Hallelujah. I don't smell any river, so y'all must have showered since our baptism last week, you know. Hallelujah. If you weren't here last week, I started smelling something in my truck, and I couldn't figure out what it was, and I had taken the clothes that I had on from the river and put them in a Walmart bag and put them in the back of my truck, and my son Corey used my truck to haul feed, and he put that bag up in behind the driver's seat underneath a towel, the same river towel, okay? And I could not figure out, what is that smell? Because I grabbed a towel, so it must be that towel, and I threw the towel in the back. When I threw the towel in the back of the truck, I was like, where's that bag? Oh, let me go back and look, and the bag was behind my seat, so. No. No. No, it did not. It smelled like the Ohio River. But anyway, we did have a good time at baptism. I've never had so much fun. We had a good time. 7 people were baptized, and that's awesome. Amen. So, Jubal, you and Miss Debbie going downstairs, make sure you make her behave, okay? Keep her in line. Will you do that for me? All right. Good deal. Let's pray and you can give. You guys can go ahead and go. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for seed we sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father. We place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God. You'll use it to multiply. You'll multiply it. You'll use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. I'm going to use my little buddy this morning. I'm going to try. Hallelujah. Glory. Got your Bibles? How many of you got your Bibles? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. We're going to win Jackie over one of these days. Get her one like mine. Turn to Isaiah 58. There we go. Stairway to Heaven. House of the Rising Sun. Sound awful light like it. Glory to God. Tell you a funny story real quick. A friend of mine's a pastor, and he was visiting another pastor friend in Florida. Pastor Rick was actually preaching there, and it was a Wednesday night, and praise and worship leader had to work over, and he couldn't get off. We had a young man that he just got saved the Sunday before, but he could play the guitar. And they asked him if he could lead a couple songs in worship. Pastor Rick said, I don't know if this is a good idea. So the guy, he led him in the old, the one we learned in children's church, Jesus Loves Me. And then he broke into Stairway to Heaven. He just didn't know. He just didn't know. Let's pray and study God's word. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for your word and what it means to us. I pray you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. How many of you know when you, if you turn on the news, you have no way of knowing what is truth and what is a lie? Amen. So I'm going to spend a couple weeks on this subject. But let's read Isaiah 58, page 942, verse 11. It says, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. In Hebrew, the word for fail there is this word kasab, okay? And this is a word that's often translated liar, okay? This word sherek is translated falsehood, but basically it carries the same idea. It's telling a lie. Now, let me show you the meaning of that word kasav. It means vain words spoken to deceive or cause failure or disappointment. Let me read that to you again. Vain words spoken to deceive or cause failure or disappointment. Did anybody think of anything when I read that definition? Or anyone? Now, let me read you what Jewish wisdom says about this word. What does not function within its intended capacity? A spring that does not flow is a lying spring because it does not function properly. One who gives vain words is a liar, and one who causes disappointment in another through his words is also a liar. I'm going back to the original meaning. Vain words spoken to deceive or cause failure or disappointment. When I read that, I immediately thought of a politician. I'm serious. People who speak vain words, make big promises, but always disappoint. Amen? I know a family, dad has been on drugs, on again, off again, worked 3 months, falls back on drugs, you know. And for his wife, she said, I can't believe him. I want to believe him. He says, not going to happen. I want to believe him. But he says, in 3 months, I know I'm going to be disappointed again. So if someone can't believe you because you can't keep your word or because you lie, you're disappointing someone. Now I want to show you something about the word truth. Rabbi Daniel Lappin said this, truth usually fits into a consistent sequence, whereas lies are more often isolated, inconsistent, and full of irregularities. How many of you ever tried to lie to your parents? How many of you know when your children are lying? Why is it? When the truth is told, it's kind of a smooth tale, right? But when somebody's lying, it's all broken up. Well, you know, you understand? See, it doesn't go smooth. And there's something really cool in the Hebrew language. The word for truth is this word. And we'll write it in Hebrew letters. El or E emet. Okay. Now that word Sheker, it is, means falsehood. Now watch these letters. Okay. Now this is truth. What is that other letter? Come on, Butch. Oh. Well, I got to make it right because I got to make my point. Okay? I'm talking about truth. I'm talking about truth. Go on. Now watch this. This is part of the neat thing about the Hebrew language. There's always a meaning, a secondary meaning, and there's always something else to glean. You know, the rabbis say that the word of God is like a beautiful diamond. You turn it one way and you see different colors, and you turn it back another way and you see other colors. You know, and the word of God is just, it's so neat. Every time I can sit down and I can study just the alphabet, the Hebrew language, and study the symbols and the numbers that go with it, I just am amazed of God's brilliance. For instance, we're talking about truth. Now look here. All these letters here that spell truth have a solid base, right? It's solid. But all the letters for falsehood are on a point. How many know it's easier for a lie to come unraveled than the truth? Now picture these words. Let's say we had these words carved out, okay? These three would all set up, would they not? If they were carved in a wooden block, they would all set up. But these three would not. They would fall apart, fall down, right? And that's what lies do. How many of you ever told a lie and you got away with it for a moment, but then it began to unravel? It got worse. Yeah, it got real worse. I remember the time my dad asked me, "What'd you do today?" I knew that question was loaded. You know, but I wasn't smart enough just to come out and confess. Because we weren't allowed to swim in anything but the pool. Especially me. Because I could look at the river or a pond and get an ear infection. But Dad didn't want us drowning. Even though he tells tales of swimming in the river. Okay. Uncle George said, "We never did that." And I bet you did. Okay. So anyway, he says, "What did you do today?" And I'm like, I know he knows, but I'm going to try. We just played ball today. "Well, how come your wet shorts are hanging up on the back porch?" See, he knew. See, now my lie is starting to unravel. You know. "Well, we went to the pool today." No, you didn't go. Your mom said you didn't go to the pool today. See, my lie is starting to unravel even further. And it's starting to unravel, and it's headed towards a butt busting. Anybody know what a butt busting is? I'm headed that way, okay? And he says, "Where'd you go swimming at?" Duck Creek. "I thought you weren't allowed to swim in Duck Creek." "Yeah." Well, he said, "When I went over the bridge, I saw you." So my lie began to unravel. See, it was on a point, and it was wavering from the beginning. Amen. Now I want you to show you something here. Look at these words. Here's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Here's the middle letter, and here's the last letter, telling us that truth is found in God's word from A to Z. Amen? But this is like the third from the last letter, the fourth from the last letter, and the second to the last letter. There's nothing stable about the word for falsehood, sherek. Right? Okay. Even the first time this word is used, it's used three times in the first chapter, or in the 24th chapter of Genesis. It's used three times. The first three times this word is used, it's in Genesis, it's in Exodus, and then again later in another book. So it's all spread out. The point is, a lie does not have the consistency as truth does. Okay? Now, I'm telling you all that to tell you this. We live in an atmosphere. We live in a society where truth is beginning to be not the norm. But the lie is beginning to be the norm. Amen? And the problem is, people are beginning to believe the lies. Amen? For instance, it doesn't matter if the government recognizes same-sex marriage. That is still a lie. That is not truth. Because truth is found in the Word of God. Marriage is defined in the Word of God. One man and one woman. Amen? Okay. Here's another lie. I think this weekend, 46 people were shot in Chicago. They have the strictest gun laws in America. Yet 46 people were shot. A few weeks ago, there were 72 people shot in one weekend in Chicago. And they have the strictest gun laws. So there's another law. Ban guns, you ban violence. There's another lie. But people believe the lies. Even though, now this is the problem in America, even though the evidence would say otherwise, people want to believe the lies. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Ancient Jewish wisdom. This is Rabbi Lappin again. Ancient Jewish wisdom points out that there is only one way to tell the truth, but many ways to lie. For instance, in the English language, did one of your parents ever say, "Are you telling me the truth?" Right? The truth. One truth. Are you telling the truth? Or did they say, "Are you telling me a lie?" One of many. Even our English language brings that out, that there's only one truth, but there's many, many lies. And I'm going to get to the Bible here in a minute. Okay? I need to show you something. I tell you, I miss my lapel microphone. We tell the truth naturally. The truth just naturally flows out. Amen? But when we tell a lie, it can be told in countless different ways. And if I tell a lie to Jackie, I may try to tell the same lie to Carolyn, and I may not tell it exactly like I told Jackie, okay? But I'm still telling that lie. Amen? All right, let me keep going. How many of you are good at being a lie detector? Jack? Oh, man. So's my father. I found this. Here's some ways to detect a lie, and then I'm going to get into my message, which isn't very long, okay? Becoming a better human lie detector. Rabbi Lappin said this. Determine if the story fits into a context from A to Z, and does it make sense? I can tell you when my kids were telling lies that, of course, I don't think I was any better at it than they were. I remember one time Brett was going to the prom. And I just happened to be down here at Burger King when that therapy place was a Burger King. Remember that? I just happened to be in there having lunch by myself, reading the paper. And Neil comes in. "Hey, Dad, will you buy me lunch?" I said, "How'd you get here?" "I rode with Brett, and I looked out the glass, and I seen Brett talking to somebody in a car." And Neil was all nervous, and Brett wouldn't come in. So I was like, "Yeah, I'll buy you lunch." And I bought him some lunch, and he ran out. And when they drove off, I got out, and I followed him. So I pulled up into the Pick and Save parking lot. You know, they were like 16 and 14. And I pulled up in the parking lot, and I could see them up by the side of the parking lot. And they were getting something out of that car that was at Burger King and putting it in the trunk of Brett's car. Now, it's prom night, okay? So my mind's cranking, you know. I'm pretty sure I know what they're putting in there, you know. And so they come home. I'm already home. I don't say nothing, you know. I let a couple hours go by, and Brett's starting to get ready for prom. I said, "Hey, what do you got in the trunk of your car?" And if you could have seen his face, all the collar dropped out. He said, in the trunk of my car?" That's a sure sign they're lying, okay? Because you shouldn't have any trouble hearing me, okay? You can ask my boys, you know, they don't have any trouble hearing me. "In the trunk of my car?" "Yeah." "Oh, nothing." I said, "Well, you don't care if we go out and look then, do you?" "Well, you don't have to look. There's nothing in there." I said, "Well, let me look anyway, you know, just to satisfy my curiosity, you know." And I'm looking over at his little brother, and his little brother's like, "This is not going good. Not going good." So we go out to the trunk of the car, and there's a case of beer and a couple fifths of alcohol. I don't know what kind it was. And so I took it in, and of course, Brett was mad at me, but I took it in, and I poured the alcohol out in the sink, and me and Neil broke every beer can open and poured every beer in the sink. And Neil said, "Is this what's meant by having a cold one with your dad?" I said, I said, this is probably as good as it's going to get for you. Okay. But I knew he was lying. And the bad thing is, he knew he was lying. It took a few years, but he finally apologized. But more, they say more girls get pregnant on prom night. And a lot of kids get killed or hurt very bad on prom night because of alcohol. And all I was doing was trying to protect my kids. And you know what? The truth that is in God's word is not to hinder us, but it's to protect God's children. Amen? Too many people look at the word of God and say, oh, it's restrictive. It's out of date. It's not like the one guy from Massachusetts said, the Bible is outdated. It hasn't kept up with society. Well, I would argue, sir, that society hasn't kept up with the Bible. So if the story fits into a context from A to Z, and does it make sense? The second way is rock the story a bit, probe it here and there, push on it. If it starts to wobble like these letters would, these letters on a point, then it's probably a lie. I mean, no matter if I was telling my mom the truth or not, I got grilled. She probed and pushed, you know, and so I knew I couldn't get by with it. But I tried, but I never was very good at it. And then the other one is develop alertness. Develop an alertness to the speaker's baseline of truth or mannerisms. What is the one way this speaker tells the truth? See, I recognized in my kids that the one guy I could get the truth out of was the youngest one, Neil. Neil could not lie. He just would fidget, and he would wring his hands, and he would look at the ceiling, and, you know, he just couldn't do it. The rest of them were pretty good at it. Probably picked that up from me. Now, the fourth way that you can discern a lie, and this is important, Christian, is you have the Holy Spirit in you. Amen? You have to allow the Holy Spirit to discern between truth and a lie. And in the atmosphere we live in, when there's so many lies being told, it's hard to grasp a hold of the truth. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're listening to a lie because it's something you want, you with me? Or somehow that lie is going to benefit you, you won't hear the truth. You with me? I mean, come on. Free health care for everybody? Free college for everybody? Free iPhones for everybody? How many of you know there's nothing free? Nothing is free. Somebody's paying for it. Say amen or oh me. All right, I'm almost done. This is just a foundation for something I want to start on. Go to Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. Now, there's some people in here that were alive during World War II. Right? Some of you were alive during World War II. You remember. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. It says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. How many of you know that is a big lie? A real big lie. Now turn with me to John chapter 8. Jesus is going to talk to some religious leaders here. John chapter 8. I got to hurry, my sugar's dropping. I can feel it. Let's start in verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do not, and you do what you have seen with your father. I'm sorry, it's page 1459. Verse 39. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were born of fornication. We have one father, God. Or Jesus, they said, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow. You are of your father, the devil. Now let's jump over to chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Thank you. He will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. From the very beginning, the devil has been out to lie to mankind. The devil has been out to steal, kill, and destroy. I believe one of the reasons that he's out to do that is that you and I are made in the image and the likeness of God Almighty. Amen? And he's out to destroy that. I believe that the Bible says that God's affection was upon us. Amen? In the Song of Solomon, the Bible says that God desires you. You are the object of God's love. That's why old Slewfoot is always trying to destroy, and he tries to destroy by telling lies. I can't help myself this morning, but this young lady that's and some of these people that's running around wanting America to become a socialist nation, why don't they go to Venezuela and live? It's not working. It won't work. It's a lie. It sounds good. And it gives everybody a ooey-gooey feeling of euphoria, but it's not true. It's been tried from the beginning of mankind. It's been tried. It never works. It never, ever works. Okay? But the point is, people want to believe the lie. Now, I want to show you something else. Some of you are going to like me. Some of you aren't going to like me. I want to read you something. Who knows what Mein Kampf is? Mein Kampf. 1, 2, 3. Mein Kampf was a book written by Hitler. And in his book, in chapter 6, he says, I'm telling you this so you can be aware of it. Okay? You're in the know. I'm a shepherd. You are part of God's flock here. And it's my job to tell you truth, whether you like it or not. Here's what Hitler said about the idea of a big lie. He says, propaganda must always address itself to the broad masses of the people. All propaganda must be presented in a popular form and must fix its intellectual level so as not to be above the heads of the least intellectual of those to whom it is directed. The art of propaganda consists precisely in being able to awaken the imagination of the public through an appeal to their feelings in finding the appropriate psychological form that will arrest the attention and appeal to the hearts of the national masses. The broad masses of the people are not made up of diplomats or professors of public jurisprudence, nor simply of persons who are able to form reasoned judgment in given cases, but a vacillating crowd of human children who are constantly wavering between one idea and another. The great majority of a nation is so feminine in its character and outlook that its thought and conduct are ruled by sentiment rather than by sober reasoning. This sentiment, however, is not complex, but simple and consistent. It is not highly differentiated, but has only the negative and positive notions of love and hatred, right and wrong, truth and falsehood. He goes on to say, propaganda must not investigate the truth objectively, and insofar as it is favorable to the other side, present it according to the theoretical rules of justice. Yet it must present only that aspect of the truth which is favorable to its own side. Did you understand that? Propaganda does not investigate the truth. It just looks at one side, okay? The receptive powers of the masses are very restricted. I think he thought we were all stupid, okay? The receptive powers of the masses are very restricted, and their understanding is feeble. On the other hand, they quickly forget. Such being the case, all effective propaganda must be confined to a few bare essentials, and those must be expressed as far as possible in stereotype formulas. These slogans should be persistently repeated until the very last individual has come to grasp the idea that has been put forward. Every change that is made in the subject of a propagandist message must always emphasize the same conclusion. The leading slogan, of course, must, of course, be illustrated in many ways and from several angles. But in the end, one must always return to the assertion of the same formula. In other words, for Hitler, propaganda had to be simple. Okay? It had to be simple, but it had to be repeated over and over and over and over again. Now, I'm going to make some of you mad. Russian collusion, Russian collusion, Russian collusion, Russian collusion, Russian collusion, Russian collusion. And there is no Russian collusion. I'm tired of hearing it. But you know what? You know what? The propagandists are using the same tactics as Hitler used. If you say it enough, and you say it enough, and then you get violent, and then you call them names. If you do it enough, they'll start to believe it. I just wonder what the rest of the world thinks of us, looking at our government right now, looking at the division in this nation. Because we were a nation that was built on truth, the truth of God's word. But we are so far from that right now that we need to get back there. Somebody say amen or oh me. I'm going to tell you something. Alexander Tyler in the 1800s, a Scottish historian, said this, that the life of democracy, he said, democracy can only last until the voters realize that they can get something out of the treasury for their vote. You with me? And see, here's the problem. Our politicians have learned that. They've learned they can go to Washington and be penniless, But if they pay their cards right, in 20 or 30 years, they can come out of there multi-millionaires. So why would we put our faith in a politician or a government? Our faith must be in God and on the truth of God's word. Somebody say amen or oh me. See, there's a lot of people that want to refer to the president as a Nazi, as a fascist. But it's really those people that are calling the names, causing the violence, that are actually using Nazi propaganda to get their way. Okay. All right. The Nazis, I'm almost done. The Nazis used something called Gleichschaltung. Gleichschaltung means coordination. It was a coordinated effort. How many of you in here understand, know what Antifa stands for? Anti-fascist. That's what it is. They think the president and his government are fascists, like Hitler and Stalin, or Hitler and Mussolini. Okay? So they keep pounding us with that same claim over and over and over again. And I just don't want God's people to buy into that. I want you to know the truth. Jesus said, the truth you know will set you free. And you know what? The truth America knows will set her free. And you know what? The same group that are calling the names, causing the violence, the progressives in America are also using a coordinated effort. Our universities, Hollywood, and the news media have a coordinated effort going to help bring America down. Amen? Amen, oh me. All right, I'm almost done. I'm almost done. And you know, their coordination is funded by a man named George Soros. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, page 1703. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I wrote this in my notes. If your hope is in government and not in God, you will believe the lies. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, how many of you believe we're in latter times? Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Speaking in lies. In latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. I don't really have to make a case that we might be in those days, do I? It kind of stands for itself. Turn with me to Revelation 22. We're about to close. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Thank you, Carolyn. Carolyn, give me an attaboy. Appreciate that. Glory to God. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Verse 12. We're just about done. Well, you said that four times. Well, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. Verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, whoever loves and practices a lie. I'm going to read that again. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the spirit of the bride says, come. Let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Now, I didn't mean to pick on anybody. But all I meant to say to you today was this. You live in a time of great deception. And you need to learn how to discern a lie from the truth. My faith is not in government. Even though I voted for the president, my faith's not in the president. My faith's in God. And my faith's in God's agenda. And I truly believe in these last days God does have an agenda. How many of you believe God is merciful? Amen. I believe God is merciful. I also believe that in the Bible clearly tells us that God's mercy always precedes his judgment. And I truly believe that on God's agenda, because America has humbled themselves and prayed, that God's agenda is to show us mercy. Amen. And we need to continue to pray that God would pour out his spirit, not only here, but around the world. Amen. Now, don't be mad at me. Okay? But you need to learn to discern the truth. So I say, amen or oh me. All right, let's bow your heads. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your truth, the truth of your word. We thank you, Father, that truth we know will set us free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Father, bless these your people. Bless us, Lord. Bless us spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally. Father, your word says you place members in the body where it pleases you. And I just believe you this morning, Lord, that you are speaking to the north, the south, the east, and west, commanding them to give up those members that you have called to be a part of this church. Father, for that we give you glory, honor, and praise this morning. And Father, I just pray for your presence here as we're about to partake of the Lord's Supper. Father, I pray your presence would be here. Father, if any need healing, when they take of that bread that represents the broken body of Jesus that was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We just pray, Lord God, that if anyone needs healing when they eat of that bread will be a point of contact for their faith, and they'll be healed and made whole. If any are worried and have anxiety over anything, when they eat of that bread, the peace of God that passes all understanding will come upon them. Not because that bread has power, but because it represents the one who has power, Jesus. We thank you, Father.